This is a Pyramid One International Network presentation. Psychedelic Dolphin Man, the man with a plan, a super soldier for the light, a legend in his own mind, a true healer with hands of light and a golden touch, the world's most sincere radio host, broadcasting from Earth inside the mothership to the galactic central sun. The voice of the resistance is Divine Grace 333, Rob Potter.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, space family, Agartha and neighbors. This is Rob Potter, broadcasting from the island of Maui, where the Menahini live and thrive. It's a wonderful day here in the neighborhood. Here I'm going to give you guys a couple personal updates. Haven't done any of that in the last probably quite a few shows, actually, so... I have moved to Maui. Things are doing really nicely here. I have my son visiting me. We've been having a blast, some kayaking. We swam with the whales. I got 3 feet from a baby whale looking me in the eye and filmed from above and below. It was a totally awesome experience. And I really do love the ocean here, the beautiful blue and the green. Louis Martin had a conference here with me, the Haleakala Solar Activation. And very, very special event. On Saturday, Louis did share some of his more advanced teachings from his visit to the physical plane of Venus near the North Pole, where he reported, I think it was 30 years ago, an aurora borealis, which was confirmed in the last 6 months by NASA. He shared with us the meetings with the masters there and some of the information that he has in his wonderful books available on my website, Runa Antillis and 3 Days in the Abbey of the Seven Rays. For those of you who don't know, I went to Lake Titicaca in Bolivia with Louis this summer, where we came to one of the closest physical points of the golden disk of the sun, which was reported in the book Secret of the Andes by Brother Philip. And Louis has actually been to the inner retreat of the Great White Brother Sisterhood, as well as to the Confederation bases. There's some Confederation bases always near Great White Brotherhood retreats. So Louis has been very fortunate to be there. And in his books, he shares those experiences and the teachings, which are very spiritual and uplifting. And the message is not one of a political change. It's always one of attunement and orientation towards the divine presence of the Creator and life, and that moves through all things. Louis is an extremely humble and extremely kind and extremely special person. He has a very unique presence, and he received applause several times speaking about the importance of the feminine and the various actions of the Great White Brotherhood that are taking place behind the scenes here that we don't always see. A lot of us on the ground crew are very involved in the physical aspect of what's taking place, but Louis shared some things. So I'm going to really encourage you now. We're really starting to pump up the Mount Shasta Summer Conference taking place the last week of July. For those of you who are interested in becoming volunteers, we did have too many no-shows last year, so we're going to be requiring a deposit, a non-refundable deposit. If you're a volunteer and you don't show, you lose your deposit. You'll be paid your deposit upon your leaving of the conference. So we do have some, we're going to have some volunteer positions available. We're going to be at the same location at the Mount Shasta Methodist Camp. Beautiful location, and we'll probably do a program all day Saturday, and Sunday we'll be doing some experiences. We're going to be communicating with the rangers this year and finding out what's needed for a special use permit that they had, and we'll be going forward from there. So that's an update on the summer conference, and I'm encouraging you all to start getting tickets there so we can make it go forward. Dewey has a very large following in Latin America, as he speaks Spanish. So, he speaks to thousands of people in a time in Spain and Italy, and he is, briefing world governments from Mexico to the tip of Chile on the ongoing activity of extraterrestrial benevolent forces down there. So I can't speak enough about the great time we had there on top of Haleakala. And one of the Hawaiian elders, her name is Auntie Puanani Maho, who was recently honored here for her community service, will probably be coming. She came to the Haleakala and set a nice tone with the ancestors and the energies on the mountain there. Also, of course, in the world political scene, lots of things going on. Cobra's been having a few posts on that are intended for the resistance movement. And by the time this radio interview actually airs towards the end of the month, I think it's time that I announce that I'll no longer be doing Cobra monthly interviews. No drama, folks. I do support Cobra in his mission and his message. I'm not sure of all of his intel. I believe his information around the matrix and the implants are very accurate. And everything else and the updates and stuff, I believe he's well-intended, and I'm not exactly sure if his contacts are telepathic or physical and exactly how those plans will lay out. It makes a lot of sense to me. I obviously have done a lot of the work on Prepare for Change, the infrastructure of the information there. Kind of came through me over a period in 2013 that really makes sense to me about the plans of the Confederation, but these things change. Whether the event is going to take place in one fell swoop or a gradual arrest process, we don't know. We did see the former president of Brazil arrested for narco trafficking, money laundering, and children and sex slave activity. So it does appear the same could be done for the Bushes and the Clintons, ladies and gentlemen. We can hopefully look forward to that type of thing taking place in the United States at some point. Veterans Today has been very instrumental in intelligence and a lot of information about the mechanizations of the cabal infrastructure that uses America as the blunt end of the stick around the world to forward the New World Order world takeover. As we all know, that's not taking place. It's been decreed by the higher intelligences and things will be moving forward. So that's kind of a little bit of my personal update, what's been going on with me here and my plans for the summer. I have, of course, a Corey Good interview coming up, still waiting for Corey to set some dates on that. Sometime after March 20th, I'll be doing a two-hour interview with Corey. And if all goes well as intended, we will be having a interview with Corey and Cobra. My email address is rob@thepromiserevealed. I will appreciate it if you want to address questions to Corey and write the words Corey questions in the subject line. And if you have questions for Corey and Cobra, write Corey and Cobra in the subject line, and I'll ask the question to both of them and we'll hear their perspective. I have another major announcement that will come at the end of the Cobra and the Corey interview. So hold on to your seats for that one. It's going to be a very big one. I'd like to talk a little bit now about my guest today, who we've had on the show before and who's been to my conference, Michael Allegian, who is a good friend of mine who I knew in, I'd have to say, 78 or 79 when I was with Fred Bell traveling and doing the conferences. I was already into my out-of-body experiences at that time with really no understanding or explanation. And Michael lived with me for about a month and a half maybe. He kind of came and went there, but he was very instrumental in teaching me the basics of the ET 101, so to speak, and learned a lot of information there. We talked about the Dr. Beter tapes of the cloning back in 78. We understood about reptilians. He shared with me Omnek Omnek's radio interview. He was instrumental in sharing quite a bit with me. He'd had some experiences physical where he was able to remember contact with a being named Corton, and was always been very enthusiastic. He's a good friend of Frank Chiles, who together, the three of us went to Gabriel Green's house on several occasions. And of course, the one occasion that I've spoken about quite often was when the Ascended Master Hilarion had sent a teacher, and I told that story many times, where the former military teacher came out and went through the room and kind of did a reading on everyone and then brought a ship into the building. It seemed like an astral experience, a very special experience for me. He trained me in certain thing of identifying implants, and I had some conversations with him about the grays and things. This is back in 81, I believe, or 82. Up in Yucca Valley at Gabriel Green's house. And then the next day, unfortunately, Frank Chile didn't get to go, but Gabe's car was small. He took Michael Allegian, myself, and Gabriel Green drove. We ended up at Bob Short's house. And there was, shortly within minutes, Bill Hamilton pulled up. Amazing synchronicity. Around sunset, we spoke for 30 minutes. The stars, you could touch them. And he said to me, "Are you ready for the demonstration?" And I said, "Yes." And we went over the hill, and Michael Allegian was on the far end of a semicircle. About 6 feet apart from him was Gabriel Green, and the military guy 6 feet, and then he was about 2 or 3 feet from me. And we watched as an orange-red disc came down and landed in front of us. I started crying, and I was having a telepathic communication, which could be Semyasi. It was a female voice. I presume it was, because every time I'd come home from Dr. Bell's house after these mystical out-of-body experiences where he'd tell me to take an Epsom salt bath, I was leaving my body. The ships would follow me down the canyon to my house, which is about half a mile down the hill from Fred's. And they would pulse. They would bring in a cloud, a fog cover, and the lights would move. And I would go, "Is this real? Are you? I just want to know. I just want to know. Is this real? Am I having a real experience? Is this, you know, these lights?" And I'm freaking out. And Fred wouldn't tell me what was going on. He had the experience for my own. He goes, "Oh, you must have had a good experience." And, you know, he never really got into it, because out of body is very difficult to translate. I was very young, probably 18 to 21 there when these were going on. So it was the first thing she had said to me was, "Now you know, Rob." And I've spoken about this in many radio interviews. I won't go over it, but basically I had a conversation and then I said, "Why don't you land? Turn off your engine and come out and talk to us." And she started laughing. And for some reason, I started laughing telepathically, a telepathic laugh, I guess, through my tears. And she said, "No, you would think you're the Messiah." And so it was a really funny conversation. And I said, "Okay, well, thank you. What can I do?" And she said, "Share this experience." And of course, it was a big hassle for many years of my life when I tried to share that experience. It was a ridicule from family and friends and a chip on my shoulders, kind of, so to speak, through the 80s and 90s. But I've matured now, and I forgive all that, and people are ready to hear the message. But the military guy looked at me and He said, "Has you seen enough?" And I said, "She is not going to land." And he said, "I know." So him and I started walking away. And Michael Alicia goes, "Hey, where are you going? It's still here." And I, you know, my feeling was, as I had seen it, I realized it. It's a real phenomenon. I'd had my experience. And in retrospect, I should have stayed and enjoyed the show for the last 2 seconds. But I turned over my shoulder and I said, "She's not going to land." I wasn't really interested in, you know, looking at a bigger car, although the spaceships are phenomenal and a beautiful technology. And when you recognize them for the efficiency and the simplicity that they represent and that is soon to be gifted to this planet as we've earned it, it's not the focus. It's the message of love and the orientation of the spiritual information that comes from the benevolent space family inside. And we know there's many grades of that. And so it's an honor to welcome my brother. And, I guess we could call it a joint contact experience. I mentioned it and he didn't remember it, but that's what happens a lot of times. You don't completely remember the experience, but, for me, it was a watershed moment and really, allowed me to be calm in my personality to know that my out of body experiences and the lights that I was seeing and even some of the physical ships were real and that there was an effort made by the benevolent forces to talk to me. He spoke of the victory of the light, and there was a V that it was carved in the snow. And a lot of this information connected me with Cobra. Cobra was coming out with information from this military guy that had the contact with me on implants. So without that background and that experience with Michael Allegian that weekend at Gabriel Green's, I never probably would have come together with Cobra so closely. So once again, it's an honor to bring Michael Allegian onto the show. We're going to talk about updates of what's going on, cosmic sting operations, and he's doing some real rootsy in the ground efforts for the event type of changeover with arrest and gathering evidence. Michael, thank you and welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be here again, Rob. It's always nice to reconnect and help extend everyone's awareness and what's going on behind the scenes. And also for those who haven't connected, who you heard about me before, I'll just give a quick little background on myself. I know you've covered a few things there, but I just thought I'd cover a few other things just for a few minutes here, and then bring it up to the present. That's okay.
Okay. Absolutely. So, I already muted. I was just going to let you go and then.
Okay. I do want to, for those who have not connected with me in the past, I do want to introduce myself as far as just briefly, as Rob did intimated about some of my experiences. I've had two physical contacts in years past. The first one happened, I was 6 years of age, and I've shared these experiences many times of falling off the Oceanside Pier. Oceanside, 40 miles north of San Diego. And it was initially a very traumatic experience of falling, but in the process of falling, they literally physically beamed me back to what I call my home environment, back aboard the Merkaba in this higher dimension, interacted with very beautiful human appearing beings that I had known prior to this life that I remember saying goodbye to. And here they were again, dressed in beautiful silver blue metallic suits. But had they been dressed in earth clothes, you would have thought they were the average good looking person walking around here. But it was, to me, the love. It was the connection I had with them. And that experience, which was written into my life script, kind of set the stage, because during that encounter with this one being named Orion, part of the Orion Council Light, and which is also part of the Jerusalem Command that Dr. Herchak talks about in the book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch. And the Jerusalem Command works with the Ashtar Command. They're like two of the main guardian groups. And so during that encounter, physically, they played back holographically all these images that were verifying the memories I had carried with me, because I didn't come into this life with the cosmic amnesia veils over my mind. So to me, it was wonderful to have the reinstating what I remember to be true, so I could share that later as time went on. And also, one of the messages specifically given to me by Orion telepathically while I was on board the light ship was that my personal experience that I was going through that day on a personal level was verification, confirmation, for a time in the future when mass planetary divine intervention was indeed going to take place. The thing I always share with people that since that experience occurred in the summer of 1959, in the last several years specifically, we are now in a very, in a new timeline, which has allowed a better outcome, a more calmer, better transition. So instead of it being only a third of humanity surviving, where it was going to be an emergency worldwide evacuation, that has now shifted to at least 90 to 95% of humanity surviving, making it through, and that's going to be a more open first contact scenario. And as I was getting ready to be beamed back down to Earth, Ryan turned to me and telepathically said, oh, by the way, you're about to bump into an old friend of ours named Ashtar. So about 2-3 years later, that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I was sitting in front of that little old black and white TV there in my home in Vista, watching President Kennedy's news conference on the Cuban Missile Crisis, and Ashtar suddenly popped into the room. Now, he's standing there etheric, but to me, he looked more real than most of the mundane humans I saw walking around planet Earth. And his first words telepathically to me where he goes, we're not going to allow nuclear war. It's against Federation policy, which I knew, but it was great to have reinstatement, to have him reinstate that. And as time went on, he started communicating with me and telling me how they were coming down over military bases and shutting down all the missiles. And of course, years later, I get lots of confirmation from earlier messages where meeting old retired guys that were, when they were younger at various military bases, watching the UFOs come down and shut down all the missiles. So finally, to bring it up briefly to the experience in 79, March 25th, and this was before I, right before I connect with Rob, I had the second physical encounter where the cabal hit me with a psychotronic beam, ripped the life force out of my body. And I say I didn't live my life out of fear. I knew where I was going to go back to if anything did happen to me. I always tell people there's some great, great parties going on in the light clubs up there in these higher paradise worlds. So we're missing all the fun down here, making Earth parties look pretty backward. But the thing about this contact was that was when I physically met Corton, who I also remember hanging out in the councils, an old friend who is a communication specialist, and he's ever overshadowed all my channeling classes since that time. And during the encounter, he specifically told me about a list of characteristics that I was going to come upon that I saw 2 months later for the first time, and it didn't really surprise me. I had practically everyone on the list, but it was to be, he told me, a physiological reference point for others like myself, whose souls are from Earth, but have come on missions into human embodiment because the energy we bring with us affects their DNA and a genetic code. And he specifically told me that unlike the old sessions I used to do, because I remember clearly choosing my Earth parents, both for their metaphysical and holistic background, they were followers of Edgar Cayce, and my father, being a professional stage hypnotist, had discovered that Edgar Cayce, the famous sleeping prophet, had been activated by a hypnotist, actually, because of a little personal problem he had, and he went to this person who taught him how to induce that state. So from the time I was 15 until 1979, until this contact I'm talking about, I used to do these karmic sessions. But I always knew I was supposed to be a cosmic telephone line where I'd be channeling the cosmic masters and helping activate people for their missions. So on board, Corton informs me that from now on it would be for others like myself who were coming on missions here to help them understand their mission. And just to give a little overview, one of the interesting things they did for me after they brought me back to life, because they, when the cabal hit me with the psychotronic beam and ripped the life force out of my body, I was dead at that point. But the next thing was waking up on the Merkaba with the Elohim standing around me, putting the life force back in my body. They brought me back to life and altered my DNA RNA so I would not be vulnerable to that kind of attack. But I was informed at this point that my sessions were going to become transformational, because more than just the conscious information when Ashtar and the various masters are channeling through me, they actually have me on an energy beam where they're downloading what is called these higher light encodements, which is part of the Elohim consciousness technology. And so the conscious mind doesn't hear the encodements, the subconscious does. So as people play back these sessions more than just when they experience it, the playing back, that's what causes the activation of the DNA RNA, proportion to how much I utilize it. And so these encodements, which are spiritually tailored to each person, I find it particularly fascinating. The stories I've heard through the years of people, when they play back the session, they start hearing other things popping up in the recording they didn't initially hear. And the masters explain that they've energetically layered information there, again, proportion to how much each person uses it, because they don't force out down our throats. It's up to us to really rise to the occasion. It's our efforts on Earth as the ground crew, the boots on the ground, so to speak, that gives them mandated authority through our actions to step in. So after that experience, from then on, all of the people I connected were definitely fellow volunteers. And I invite the audience to go to my website, michaelelejean.com, firstlastname.com, and take a look at the NASA Star People Characteristic List and see how many ballpark figure percentage-wise, how many of those traits you happen to have, because it's how much energy you've been able to retrieve, how much you've been able to manifest in your DNA RNA, how many of those characteristics you have. And after years and years, thousands of sessions, I lost count. But what is interesting is things continue to accelerate, more and more people I would meet, and seeing all these fabulous transformations that people were going through. And I always tell people that even though the only credit I can take for my sessions to keep myself as a very clear channel, I eat very clear, very pure food. I do yoga every other day and meditate and keep my energy aligned. But I give divine creation, God, and the hierarchy most of the credit for doing this work through me to help all the other ground crew members to get on with their mission so that you can also plug into the cosmic circuit and understand more your own connection.
Yeah, that's great. I actually had a reading, folks, and, you know, back then I didn't quite understand everything. And, you know, a lot of times I think the people themselves have to resonate to it, but it's interesting. And, Gabriel Green, I asked him privately, Michael, one time I said, I'm not sure. I mean, Michael talks a lot of stuff out, like stuff going out there. I'm not sure. He says, no. And he said, no, Michael's the real deal. And he does have a connection. One thing I'd like to preempt here, folks, Michael and I have had some experiences here, and this is, I want to make it real clear. It doesn't make anyone any better. Just believe me, all of us have had multiple lives on different worlds. There are, certain traits amongst certain people that have come here more recently, have maybe come here in the past, who've spent more lifetimes on other worlds than on Earth as part of a mission, because a lot of people get kind of lost here. So it doesn't it's not some exclusive contactee club. We don't want to make it like, wow, I don't have those experiences. I've been pining for them my whole life. And I have been pining for different experiences as well. But, you know, Michael, there's very few people who have ongoing repeated physical contacts like Dr. Frank Strange's or some other contactees. As Michael said, you have two or three, maybe four experiences in your lifetime. Michael did meet Bonnie from the Agartha Network, who is now known as Sharula Ducks, through Bill Hamilton and stuff. So, we've been kind of fortunate to have some things, and this is, I guess, because our personality types are, strong enough to be able to take the ridicule and to be able to share this information with you to give you kind of a little bit of a news report. But I don't want this, you know, the way that we speak here. I know a lot of people are, this is just so out there, and this is, you know, is this a crazy ego trip? So just be, be aware that what we're doing here is a humble and a sacred service, and we're doing the best that we can from our own perspective. And I'm going to let Michael share with us. Michael, I'd like to ask you, with the current political situation and the plan of ascension for the entire planet, maybe you can give a brief overview of the ascension of the planet, where you think we are, what's going on right now, and maybe we'll get into the grassroots later, but I'd love the audience to hear your stuff on your website. It's very well written, and it kind of acknowledges everything that we've known for the last 50 years. There's a plan to redeem this planet and to clear out the negative energy, which is not only plasma scalar field, but has affected people's consciousness, and we've lost our way to the cosmic truth. Share with us the ascension plan and what you think is going on right now in the world's political situation. And of course, we got the blogosphere going out there and a lot of info and disinfo. What's your take on that, Mr. Allegian?
Well, there's a number of things I can touch on that to me are all kind of part of an energy recipe. As in all our energy recipes, if you're missing an ingredient, it's not quite the same in a total collective sense. So all of these parts are important, but also to me, in a very pragmatic, go out and thump it on the street kind of way, as far as our efforts and they like to call us the ground crew, because it's our efforts, as I mentioned briefly, that give them mandated authority. And they are very excited watching we the people, and I use that phrase in a very specific way, we the people rising up, becoming empowered, becoming educated. And one of the things that I think that many people are starting to awaken to is that we, as universal beings of light, happening to have, being a cosmic spiritual being, having a human experience at this point, is that we have termed unalienable rights given to us by our divine creator. Now, my partner Laura and I, for the last 2 years, and this is kind of a grassroots movement, but I mention it because it has a very significant role to play in forming the Planetary Council. And I was told 2 years ago, Ashtar told me, that NationalLibertyAlliance.org, which is a major website for reinstating the unified United Common Law Grand Juries, that it will become the Planetary Council that will connect us with the Galactic Council. And we have literally in the last year or two, literally, I think it was 1.8 million documents. We have corporate bombed, I use that phrase, all of the corrupt officials, challenging them, reminding them about their oath, that they're public servants, that never has anyone on a mass level like we've done since becoming a part of National Liberty Alliance, really challenged and made some inroads in the corrupt system. And at some point this year, I don't know when exactly, it's our plan to get into the corrupt courts, use their facilities and take away the corrupt equity courts and bring back common law as it was, as it's intended, as far as our unalienable rights, giving the people finally to say so rather than the corrupt officials up to now.
Yeah, Michael, let's do that a little later. I'd like to go into the Ascension Plan. We can talk about that, but I wanted to get some of the spiritual information of the Confederation and the Ascension Plan.
Well, from a spiritual point of view, the fact that we're in a new timeline. This is, to me, very key to how things are going to turn out, what's actually occurring in this planetary shift, which is much better than the old timeline. Because, as I said briefly, over 90-95% of humanity, energetically at least, appear to be not only surviving, but making it through quite well. And our jobs as volunteers in Earth Embodiment, as the ground crew, and having created this new timeline, is to help as many people as possible, both individually and collectively, as we ground our light individually, and our personal experiences impact millions of people in everything we do. And so we add to the collective momentum field by these efforts. So in this new timeline, unlike the old timeline where it was an emergency evacuation, now first contact, there's going to be a series of open contacts. And as you mentioned yourself, Rob, about, you know, whether it's, is, you know, the thing of happening simultaneously or spread out over a period of time. Because to me, if it happens too fast on top of one another, since there's so many souls for the first time in this new timeline that are about to graduate, 90-95% of humanity, a huge majority of humanity, after millions of years, are being, you know, lifted out of planetary quarantine and given a chance to go back to the higher realms to reassociate with extended cosmic family members. So this extension and the confusion a lot of people have about intel out there, as I was told many years ago, Ashtar was always commenting to me about various things when I saw the movie The Sting. He specifically said that they had a cosmic sting operation going on against the cabal that was going to play out over a period of time. And then he was hinting kind of at the new timeline, even at that time, about how things were going to shift for the people and that it's going to be a much smoother, better transition. So this confusion and people's irritation and impatience about the delay, quote, on a lot of areas, we have to thank divine creation for the fact that there has been some delays to give people a little more time to get their trip together, get thine act together, get into alignment and position individually and collectively. That's where my sessions also help people get a little more focused out of all the trillions of misinformation that can distract them, how to whittle it down and focus energetically, physiologically, in deciding in your priorities what you individually as a being of light in this ascension planetary process can do individually and collectively to make a difference without all the other things distracting and throwing you this way and throwing you that way, and help you get more in touch with your I am presence, your higher self, so that your decisions, your what you decide to do is more effective, whether in being again scattered and a little uncertain, and also all that fear, false evidence appearing real goes away as you feel you start to get into the flow and add to the collective momentum field. So the ascension process itself is, in it's kind of like Ashtar calls it the cosmic molding clay, cosmic Plato principle, that we have more free will. Actually, right now, with the new cosmic frequencies coming on the planet that even the Elohim masters say they've never experienced before recently, and they keep amping it up, that it's spreading around this planet and causing some pretty wonderful, fabulous changes. Again, things that both individually and collectively have never happened in the past are all lining up right now. So this question of timing and the transition is based on what we're creating. It's not set in a rigid, concrete kind of way. We're given more flexible free will to extend upon it and even, you know, again, delay things a little bit. If that means a few more million souls make it through, we should really be thankful and happy that there is some delay. As much as it's frustrating, things keep being put off temporarily, there will come a point where the holding pattern can't continue, where enough spiritual escape velocity, as Ashtar likes to say, builds up, and suddenly, simultaneously, billions of souls are coming onto the same page. And one of the things I have to say, and I've been scanning humanity ever since I heard about Nisara 20, 25, 30 years ago, that humanity wasn't ready physiologically, emotionally, to handle large amounts of, you know, financial abundance for funding projects. And it really wasn't, as even though I kept scanning year after year, it wasn't until 2014 that I really felt that humanity was really coming on. Suddenly, millions of people were coming on the same page, and that there is about to occur, because there is a new economic system technically in place, and reevaluation of world currencies and things like that, that is going to be a huge amounts of funding that are coming out to fund projects and make sure there's no economic crash, so the transition is smooth. And that's so that the funding of projects can occur that will help the ascension, because suddenly technologies will become available and new opportunities, new jobs, and various things that we've been waiting for will now come into an alignment and become available to humanity. And it's all going to happen pretty fast. Once the ball starts rolling, there will be a domino effect. The question of when exactly has always been the $64 million question. But what is clear to me is that so many more people have woke up very recently, and it's building up a momentum right now. And so for those who kind of get impatient and want to throw the towel in, to me, we're so much almost on top of it. I know that the words soon, shortly, and imminent have all been worn out, but those are the only words that can really crudely define how close we actually are. But again, the question of when, we don't worry about it. We keep ourselves in as much in a now expectant state. Now meaning as much as possible, and to expect some wonderful things, but still be as much in the now. We kind of balance, be heavy and light at the same time about what we're doing. Don't get too attached to things, but be the guardian to it. Take care of the things that are important. Treat your physical body as a temple so you can be a clear instrument. Because see, we're all channeling life force. It's just learning to interpret the signal. So that's the thing I really feel excited about, helping more volunteers through my sessions to get more plugged into the cosmic circuit, understand your mission, and so you can find out more things you can do to be a greater help. And that will build up the momentum field, and that will make things happen that much sooner when divine creation gives the cosmic green light, the signal, for each of these dramatic things to occur. We're on top of many of them, so just sit tight. Focus and energy flow will take you to that moment in the right perfect time, better than even the Elohim can come up. But only divine creation knows that perfect moment. And we're privileged to be here on Earth, since there's only a certain number of physical bodies to go around, to be a part of history being made here shortly.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff going on there. And I appreciate all that information there that you shared with people to kind of give them the understanding that we are important, that everyone has to find their own little note and what they want to do. And don't, you know, fret too much. You don't have to become, you don't have to be like a world player on the scene sharing information. Every little part that someone does is sacred. If you create a community garden, if you nurture children in a new style of teaching and, help them to understand certain things. That's a beautiful thing. You can create gardens. I mean, so many recycling, making people aware of energy technologies. I'm really not into solar wind power. They're so caveman-y. We need to focus our efforts towards exposing the corruption that has withheld the free energies and stuff. So obviously there's a lot going on here with what Michael's saying, and the confidence with which he speaks comes from his experience. So, always remain grounded in your real life, in your real world.
And just be aware that your families and friends are generally not the best people to communicate your information to. You usually have to find places like my conference or kind of spiritual expos where you'll find like-minded people who are in the same awakening process and excited about the knowledge and information. Frank Chile is always so positive, always so enthusiastic in his understanding of the brothers. He's always been a great light, and that type of energy that you associate with in people will help you have confidence and to understand a little more. And as Michael said, meditation is so very important. Michael, I guess I'd like to hold on here. Oh my gosh. We lost part of our recording, which isn't good, but I'm going to have to just let this go, folks, and see if we can get someone to mix this out a little bit. So, Michael, now I'd like to have you share with
us. How much did we lose there, Rob?
Yeah, we didn't lose any. I just got a...
Oh, it was recorded. You just didn't get a chance to...
Yeah, let me put it on pause and go back.
Ball starts rolling. There will be a domino effect. The question of when exactly has always been the $64 million question. But what is clear to me is that so many more people have woke up very recently, and it's building up a momentum right now. And so for those who kind of get impatient and want to throw the towel in, to me, we're so much almost on top of it. I know that the words soon, shortly, and imminent have all been worn out, but those are the only words that can really crudely define how close we actually are. But again, the question of when... We don't worry about it. We keep ourselves in as much in a now expectant state. Now meaning as much as possible, and to expect some wonderful things, but still be as much in the now. We kind of balance, be heavy and light at the same time about what we're doing. Don't get too attached to things, but be the guardian to it. Take care of the things that are important. Treat your physical body as a temple so you can be a clear instrument. Because see, we're all channeling life force. It's just learning to interpret the signal. So, that's the thing I really feel excited about, helping more volunteers through my sessions to get more plugged into the cosmic circuit, understand your mission, and so you can find out more things you can do to be a greater help. And that will build up the momentum field, and that will make things happen that much sooner when divine creation gives the cosmic green light, the signal, for each of these dramatic things to occur. We're on top of many of them, so just sit tight, focus, and energy flow will take you to that moment in the right perfect time, better than even the Elohim could come up. Only divine creation knows that perfect moment, and we're privileged to be here on Earth, since there's only a certain number of physical bodies to go around, to be a part of history being made here shortly.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff going on there, and I appreciate all that information there that you shared with people to kind of give them the understanding that we are important, that everyone has to find their own little note and what they want to do. And don't, fret too much. You don't have to become, a super, you have to be like a world player on the scene sharing information. Every little part that someone does is sacred. If you create a community garden, if you nurture children in a new style of teaching and help them to understand certain things, that's a beautiful thing. You can create gardens. So many recycling, making people aware of energy technologies. I'm really not into solar wind power. They're so caveman-y. We need to focus our efforts towards exposing the corruption that has withheld the free energies and stuff. So obviously there's a lot going on here with what Michael's saying, and the confidence with which he speaks comes from his experience. So always remain grounded in your real life, in your real world, and just be aware that your families and friends are generally not the best people to communicate your information to. You usually have to find places like my conference or spiritual expos where you'll find like-minded people who are in the same awakening process and excited about the knowledge and information. Frank Chile is always so positive, always so enthusiastic in his understanding of the brothers. He's always been a great light, and that type of energy that you associate with in people will help you have confidence and to understand a little more. And as Michael said, meditation is so very important to find your own center and connect within. Michael, I'd like you to, if you could, share a little bit of your understanding of how to adore and to invoke the I Am presence so that people can have their own connection. And then I'd like you to just go ahead and continue where you kind of went on with the cosmic sting thing there, and for this last part to share that information. So,
what and that will lead it into the common law grand jury thing. Okay.
Yes, wonderful. Go ahead.
Well, what's something that I always do, and I do this right before I do my personal, the 90-minute personal transformational channel readings for lightworkers, I always do a little 3 or 4 minute. I do this every day, and I do it when I get up in the morning. You invoke the different colors. Now, color is a harmonic frequency, and it's also how we invoke it. There's ways to enhance and intensify, and I do some light decrees and calling the different Christed masters. So I kind of combine a number of things together, creating an energetic field around me. And I invoke, you know, on every cell, every level, and really with power of mind, thought, intent, as I invoke it, I also call in the cosmic masters and invoke it on my behalf. So they amplify what I've already invoked. And so you keep building up the power in it. So it's like the old phrase, tenfold return becomes a lava, 11-fold to infinity. So you enhance and you build it up. So the incoming frequencies that's represented by the silver frequency, which I always invoke, this is related to new energies. They're much brighter. They're more powerful than just earth or astral. The old colors that we used to see, these are much brighter, more brilliant colors because they're higher dimensional energies from the higher paradise worlds that are flooding earth to these new frequencies. So it's upgrading earth in the ascension process. It's individually, these energies are real win-win, user-friendly. They help to break through a lot of barriers and things that have been, you know, kind of blocking us. It's really, and it's also exposing the cabal big time. All, they're like Keystone Cops slipping on banana peels. It's really ending all of the old activities of survival and so on. It's bringing us into service to collective. So the color meditations are very powerful. I do a little summarized version of it, as I said, before I do my sessions, but I also, when I do my channeling classes, I teach a more half-hour, 45-minute version of it, where because I want to really have people immerse themselves in the frequency. And, of course, the violet fire, the ray of transmutation, the ray of freedom is one of the very powerful rays among all of them to invoke that transmutes all of the imbalances and conditions genetically, levels of imbalances within us, implants, whatever has been there. It releases all these old programmings and conditions that we have in the past been stuck into. The new frequencies coming on the earth are stirring everything up to be cleared. So we're working with divine creation by invoking these colors, visualizing them, and really acknowledging our connection with in the grand scheme of things. And that we have a great backup team. They're here to help us. They're help us help ourselves because they want us to do it. They're just there to support us. So we learn, we develop galactic street smarts, as Ashtar says, being down here, you know, boots on the ground, and it's the ability to, you know, discern and make proper decisions and become empowered by using, you know, to me, I always do before I do a passive meditation, this is sit and receive. I blow out the lines, clear the energies by invoking the colors. So then whatever I do receive comes through very clear. But if there's, you know, clogging in the lines, so to speak, then what you're getting is going to be kind of distorted. So when you clear the lines and you get your energy field really nice and aligned, then whatever they do download comes in really nice. And even if people who have difficulties sometimes picking up things, I always say that the intent and motive of the individual is what the masters are looking at. Not all the mistakes and things they sometimes get in our own way, but that part of us, that the I Am presence, the Christ flame that we call upon, our higher self, to overshadow what's going on. And with our intent and our motive, because intent is everything. It's not the mistakes they judge us for, it's their intent, because we learn through intent. We learn through mistakes, we learn hindsight, so we can do better the next time, each moment. So it's the overall sense of our life and what we're focusing on and our the way we live our life and the degrees of and the things like meditation that allow us to come into the greater energy of our potential. And I'm just excited to see how many people are waking up and the people I meet through my sessions that are, I always connect with people when they're about to go through a major shift. I'm kind of like the cosmic kick in the pants.
That's great. Let's share with us now your work. And as you mentioned before, and what's going on here, we've got about 15 more minutes.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned briefly before, for those who go to my website, michaelelejean.com, take a look at the NASA Star People Characteristics list. Just skim that and see what percentage ballpark figure that you happen to have, because I find that it is relative to some degree of who you are, that you're a higher being, an earth embodiment on a mission. That's how much energy you've been able to retain, is how many of those characteristics you have. So that's one area. My personal transformational 90-minute readings are really designed to help each person individually plug in. But on another more collective level, the work that my partner Laura and I are involved in, and in reinstating the unified United Common Law Grand Juries through to NaturalLibertyAlliance.org. That's NationalLibertyAlliance.org. And check out the website, because there's some really great information there. In fact, every Monday evening, we have a three-hour conference call where hundreds of people get online. We actually have over 5,000 members now, and then the last 2 years that have joined on board. And we are rapidly making progress to ultimately get into the courts and get rid of all the corrupt equity courts and replace them with common law courts that have not been around forever. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we're literally carpet bombing the officials with millions of documents. It was 1.8 million documents, I think, we, in the last year or so, that we, sent to all the officials. We're challenging them, and from all the corrupt judges to right now, we're working with the constitutional sheriffs to remind them about their constitutional duty, that they actually have the authority to arrest the judges, and they don't know that. So we're starting these systems, a very powerful impact that we're having. And many of the judges are, many of the officials are freaking out now, because we're getting a presence that people on an individual basis in years past didn't have. So they can't ignore us anymore. And we're really doing some powerful work, because the pen is mightier than the sword. And this is all part of the process in this planetary transition. As the planet goes through the ascension, as the people wake up, we the people rise to the occasion. The Common Law Grand Jury will become the Planetary Council. This is what Asher told me 2 years ago when I got involved in this, that many of the people I've connected through my sessions would have some role to play, directly or indirectly, with this process. Because once the Planetary Council is formed, it will probably occur around the time that, you know, the major part of the ascension has been completed here, because these are going to start stepping up here pretty fast. And it's going to get more and more exciting here, because more and more people are coming on board. We're joining together. We're creating a powerful grassroots movement that's going to, again, bring back, you know, our inalienable rights, our common law, versus all these corrupt jurisdictional things based on admiralty and maritime law that is used to extort us and keep us in economic servitude. That's all going to go away. And we're starting to make inroads. We have committees like the, you know, courtroom observers, that when you're going to go to court, because the judges always manipulate the record and everything, and they do whatever they want. Well, when people go into the court through the courtroom observers, they act entirely different, because you go in there and you're taking down notes, or if you're allowed to videotape it once in a while, the judges are forced to have to acknowledge the power of the people in those instances. More and more, this is starting to happen. So very good things. Momentum is starting to build in a grassroots movement that the higher forces are taking a look at, and they're starting to give us more support spiritually. The momentum is building up. It's like when you push that cosmic locomotive and it starts to build up, pretty soon you can jump up onto it because it's self-motivated. It's pushing itself forward, and that's what we're creating right now. This powerful force that is building up, can't be stopped, and we're getting a huge amount of support from off the planet in the activities that we're involved in. So I really invite people to check out National Liberty Alliance. Now, I will mention this, that it's interesting. In the last 2 years, we have gone through a few challenges. Like, for example, you know, about a third of the people who are part of the organization are very traditional religious way. You know, John Duress likes the first few minutes of the meeting. He read a little biblical scripture. That's his way. I think he's actually a higher being playing the role of somebody more traditional. Then there's about a third of us, like my partner and I, and that are kind of out there cosmically. And then there's about a third of the people who are from every religious cultural background. John is very high principled. He welcomes anybody who, as long as you're desiring to bring back our freedoms and our liberties and our unenviable rights that the system has not allowed us to really, you know, express, has suppressed those things. So we're building up a very powerful momentum, and I really invite you to check it out and become involved in a process that's going to make a difference. Now, there's a number of people out there who often contact us to tell us, oh, we should do things this way, or we should do it that way. What we're dealing with right now is a systemic problem. We're going to get into the courts. Once we do that, then we will deal with things like driver's licenses, all this other stuff that is important, but it's not as important as making sure we don't get arrested and finishing up the process that we need to do to be effective, rather than going off in tangents and getting distracted, which often happens by well-meaning people giving wrong advice to us about what they think we should do. John Duresh is very focused and very directed in this whole process, as all of us who've joined National Liberty Alliance, because it is, to me, one of the most powerful ways to form the Planetary Council and complete and help us collectively fulfill our missions for why we came to this planet. We came here to liberate it and to be, as we lift the planetary quarantine, for it to become a member of the Federation of Worlds rather than a karmic training school as it has been for eons of time. The karmas come to an end. They're going to lift the planetary quarantine. And at that point, things are going to get a little more exciting. I really feel that we're on the verge of some major breakthroughs that have, as I said, both individually and collectively, have never happened before because of the way the information is coming together. I just see some energetically when I scan humanity's energy, I just pick up this momentous shift in people's consciousness, and that we really are ready in a very pragmatic sense for the new economic system, for the funding of things that are going to fund the humanitarian projects. And we're going to see some major change. I think this year, 2016-2017, is going to be a dramatic time. Now, I do want to say there's a lot of information all over the internet, lots of rumors flying around, which I tend to be very cautious about, because I saw an email just recently, which I truly much agree with. It was about the sting operation. It was talking about how information from both the good guys and the bad guys, they're floating all over the place. Asher has told me that there is a lot of information out there which is designed to confuse the imbalanced energies and give the people some support and breathing room, so to speak. And it's important that we don't get caught up in the drama of a lot of stuff. You know, there's so many people who hold on to every word of all the intel and things they read, rather than just kind of, you know, being in the present now, being balanced, being open, but use your discernment. Discernment is an extremely important thing. It's like the analogy when the beast is wounded before it dies, it's the most dangerous of all. The cabal is basically in survival mode right now, but it's still very dangerous until it's totally out of the way. Shortly it will be, but we still have a lot of work to do in a short period of time to finish up the cleanup that we came here to accomplish. And we do have a lot of support to accomplish that. You just need to pay attention. It's like act but not react to things emotionally.
That's a good point. A lot of people do get caught up in the various things. I have a couple questions or little comments here. The first one is about the sheriffs being involved. And, of course, the grand jury does have a right, and people don't realize that the Constitution has provided for that. Of course, another aspect of the Constitution is if they pass a law and people don't convict someone, the jury can overturn a law. In other words, the right of the people to overcome the executive and legislative branch of the government is provided, and the judicial aspect where the people can basically overturn just laws by simply refusing to convict. They have vacated those overturnings of the law and in certain instances literally removed jurors in the past. And so there's a lot of corruption going on in the judicial system. A question I have for you is, mm-hmm. These sheriffs, are any of them really ready to move? I hear a lot of talk. I see
actually
keepers. Well, I'd like to see some of this going on. Who's going to get arrested? When is this really going to take place? And won't there just be, they arrest him and put him in court, won't just one of his buddies release him? I mean,
well, that's the whole thing. We are just about right now, and see, National Liberty Alliance, is everything is on donation. Everything is free. Like, we have a 120-hour free civics course that teaches you about the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and we have another shorter constitutional course specifically. But we are asking people, because we are about to do this mass process of sending out to all the 3,100 county sheriffs, reminding them about their constitutional oath. And this is a mass thing we've never done before. We've contacted some sheriffs, and there are some who have said they want to support us, but they're very cautious because they haven't understood that they have the authority to arrest the judges.
who, and so there's this weird kind of dysfunctional situation because they're not taught the Constitution, and they took this oath, which is more of a formality. So what we're about to do, what we're doing right now, is reminding them about their, you know, their oath of office and what that really means, what it means to be, you know, an elected official fulfilling their constitutional duties rather than the distortion in the field. And so a lot of these, like the mortgage crisis situation where they're going along with the corrupt judges, they ignorantly don't understand. And I talk about, you know, others like, you know, certain people who hold roles so they don't have to take responsibility. But we are right now going to hold them to the fire and remind them, hey, you're liable. You're part of the problem if you don't uphold your constitutional rights of the individual and you ignore due process and allow these corrupt mortgage companies and the bank to manipulate, because that's what they do. They just make up all kinds of things. And even people who've paid off their mortgage, their home still gets taken. It's a huge scam they've been doing. So we are right now in that whole process to get things back on track. And these things like,
that's absolutely outrageous. Well, I really appreciate your work there and your faith and confidence. You know, I'm not sure the entire Earth Council is going to be from the United States grand jury, but I think that the background and the work and the evidence that you're amassing and compiling and the numbers of people who want justice, who have been probably motivated by an unfair attack upon their life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and other things as well, becoming involved is very important. And it's going to take a lot of patience, a lot of love, and a lot of communication and education, really, to people to understand the truth. And our system is so convoluted and so complex. I think we have to, as Dr. Strange used to say, the lawmakers have created the lawbreakers. We have to remove so many of these silly laws and things that just block things. It's all based around finance and commerce, which needs to be reoriented, as you said, with Nisara and a financial reset and a transparent and just financial system. We have about three more minutes if you'd like to have any conclusions. And I'm going to spell his name is Michael, and then it's E-L, and then L-E-G-I-O-N. That's his, you can Google him, and that's how you find him. He says Elijon, so not sure if you know how to spell that, but that's how you get to his website. Michael, why don't you give us a conclusion here in the next 3 minutes and sum up some love and light and some of the positive activities coming forth and how everyone, without, you know, we're all light workers, we're all ground crew, we're all in this together as humanity. How do you recommend that people go forward from here with this information you shared with us today?
Well, there's so many different ways to, you know, there's so many, everyone, all of the ground crew member are here on individual missions, but it's all part of a collective mission of liberating the planet. And the things that my partner Laura and I are involved in, plus the sessions that I do for people, which are designed really to help each person become more focused, become more empowered because of being able to get rid of all of the many things that can distract and kind of focus it down into the areas that energetically speaking, through the information, the higher latent codements, as an example, on a personal level, to help people get a little bit more, get their head on straight so that all of the things that seem to be conflicting and pulling them this way and pulling them that way kind of gets into a more of an even flow. You know, I think that's the thing I've observed with people, that people become more relaxed but yet empowered. They start to be able to make better decisions about themselves, and it also allows them, when they're connecting with their I Am presence, their higher self, just to be a better person overall on every level, their conscious level and every other level.
Thank you very much. That's relaxed and empowered. I like that. Michael, thank you very much. It's been an honor to have you on here today.
Well, thank you. And as always, keep your eyes on the skies.
All right, folks. So victory to the light. And I know I dropped a little bomb there about the cover interview, folks. And to reiterate, I'm very busy. I have some other things to focus on. It was kind of stressful for me. The PFC group is going to take over the monthly interviews. And I'm going to concentrate on my health and my conference is coming up. So Know that Cobra and I are together in the mission. I believe he's sincere, honest. We have some differences of opinions here and there, but we're all together towards the purpose of planetary liberation, ending the quarantine. And of course, don't you worry, folks, when it's safe to do so for you and for them, we will have open contact start taking place so that we can reintegrate ourselves into the cosmic family, as Michael has shared with his confidence and experience today. Thank you all, and victory to the light.